We're going to continue a little bit of Thanksgiving. Psalm 100. Of all the psalms, this is the only one given a title such as this, a psalm for giving thanks. So give attention to the reading of God's word. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. May God bless the reading of his word. Sometimes when someone has done something particularly special for us, we find ourselves asking the question, what can I do to show my appreciation? And it's not always an easy question to answer. But if we struggle with how to show our appreciation on a human level, how is it that we thank God? We have this command. It's a psalm for giving thanks. But how do we thank God? Some of you remember the song by Andre Crouch that in the refrain, he acknowledges the dilemma of being able to adequately express gratitude to God when he says, how can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. Sometimes I'd like to hand it off that way. Wouldn't that be fun? Angels, take it on. You know, express my gratitude. Take on the task, because I don't always have a sense of how to do it. How many of you have a practice around the Thanksgiving table of sharing thanks? Okay, most families do at some point in that. It's always kind of awkward because there's somebody that always pulls out, well, I've prepared a 40-minute message. And then there's somebody that's going, I don't have a clue. I'm thankful we had enough cranberry sauce to go around. You know, and there's all the struggling of what's to take place within that. Here, I want to suggest that this psalm gives us a series of things. If you want to know how to thank God, here's some very straightforward and practical steps. So let's begin to dig in. It tells us, first of all, that we're to thank him with sound. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I have used this as an explanation for my singing. It's joyful. Yes, it's a noise, but it is joyful within that. We note that God doesn't require a perfect voice, but a joyful noise. But sometimes I want us to think about how often we remain silent when we ought to speak up. Now, I'm not going to become the Sunday morning cheerleader going to the congregation. Let's make some noise. You know, that would be rather inappropriate, it would seem, in many ways. But I do want to suggest that oftentimes we seem to fail to hear this invitation from God to make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Imagine if you were going to one of the football games that happen every Sunday afternoon, or if you happened to see the Tide roll yesterday. What happens when the team comes out onto the field? Everybody goes. Is that what happens? No, there's this yelling that takes place. There are people that travel from one city to another to support their team, and they're determined that even though there's only 20 of them there, they're going to yell loud enough that their team is still going to be represented in that way. God calls for us to have a joyful voice, a joyful noise concerning him. This is a call for praise, a call for joyful testimony. It's as though God says to us, shout words of joy to me. But in many ways, it seems like the church is far more comfortable with Simon and Garfunkel's Sounds of Silence than we are with joyful noise of praise or testimony concerning God. We overlook the commands like Psalm 32:11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all the earth, all you upright in heart. We ignore Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. But more importantly, we fail to make the joyful noise in sharing the testimony of the good news of the gospel. That's the most joyous message I know, isn't it? It's the message that talks about what we were apart from Christ. and talks about what we now are in Him. Speak up about the gospel. Be a person who's saying, let me tell you what my Savior has done for me. It is the most joyful message in all the world. It's what caused Priscilla Owens to write that hymn. We have heard the joyful sound. What is it? Only half of you are still awake. Okay, try again. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. That is the joyful noise that is necessary for us to make. Why is it so joyful? Because of the great need we had. All of us had sinned and broken God's law. There's not one of us that could stand before God and say, I'm worthy to come into your heaven. All of us, because of our sin, have been separated from God and deserve His wrath and His curse. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3 when he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a consequence for that sin, according to the Scripture. It's spiritual separation from God, death itself. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. That's what Paul was writing about in Romans 6:23 when he says, the wages of sin is death. So often we get the idea that there's something that we're able to do about it, perhaps our good works, the things that we try to contribute to deserve God's favor, but the Scriptures tell us that it's not of our works, it's by the finished work of Jesus Christ alone in the cross. And so Paul in Romans 11 says, if it's by grace, then it's no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace, but if it's of works, then it's no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. There's nothing we can do to contribute. But then we have the promise of God, that God, Romans 5:8, demonstrated His love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the good message. That's the joyful news. I was under His wrath and His curse, but now I'm forgiven because of what Christ has done. I deserve judgment. I deserved hell itself, but now I've been given a new home in heaven. Is that something worth celebrating? Are we giving that joyful testimony, or have we become a relatively silent people? Look across America at the various things that are going on, and don't you ask yourself the question, where is the church? I would ask you what we would do as a community if we were seeing the same kind of conflicts that they've seen up in Ferguson. I just want to plant this in your mind, because I'm going to tell you ahead of time if we see it. I'm going to ask you as a congregation to join me and lock hands with one of our other African-American churches and be out in public saying, we're not going to stand for this, because the good news of the gospel is, in Christ, black, white, red, brown, purple, yellow, pink, I can't get all the colors in anymore, can be made one in Christ, can be forgiven. We need to be speaking up about the gospel. We need to be saying there's something that speaks to this. This isn't a hopeless case. America's not headed just down the tubes because of what's going on. We thank Him with sound. We thank Him with the joyful message of the gospel. But second, He tells us we can thank Him with our service. Serve the Lord with gladness. How do we show our thanks to God? Well, we return thanks to Him with our voice, but we also return it by serving Him with a glad heart. See, grudging service is removed, excluded from thanksgiving. But serving with gladness is an expression of gratitude to the Lord. When thanklessness begins to overtake you as a Christian, it's going to be marked by the absence of joyful service. And what happens then is that your service for the King, while you may continue it because you understand it's what we're called to do, but it will lose the joy. I would ask you to check yourself. Have you lost joy in the service you're doing in the church? Are you at a place where you say, yeah, I'm still teaching that Sunday school class, but boy, I wish it was done. 13 weeks is a long time to do it. I've been a deacon since Methuselah, and I am really ready to be finished. I am tired of whatever your particular place is. If that's happened, the issue probably isn't the task. The issue is whether or not you're doing it with a thankful heart to the Lord. The issue is whether you see it as an opportunity to thank the God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Because the thankful Christian invests himself in serving the Lord with all our heart. I came across a little quote in a sermon by A.J. Cronin. He was speaking to a nurse in his congregation who was pouring herself out for the needs of the people, and oftentimes she wasn't getting paid in the work. And the doctor said to her, oh, dear nurse, God knows that you are underpaid. Now, what would happen here in America? We go, you're right. I am. I haven't gotten a raise since 2008. You know, we would come up with all of the things, and we might even say, what a good person I am to keep doing this work. I love her response. She said, all I need to know is that God knows. See, where's our joyful service? Where's our readiness to step forward and take the opportunities that are there? Don't forget that the service of the Lord works its way out in practical ministry. Remember in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives us this picture where the sheep are separated from the goats, and he describes the character of the service of the saints by saying, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, there's not one of us that would disagree that Christians ought to be serving, right? But when we serve, are we doing it joyfully? Are we doing it with gladness? The kind of service God is seeking isn't grudging or irksome, but glad. There was a phrase that I remember out of my youth hearing often from those who were involved in service types of works. When it was done and you would say thank you, they would respond, glad to be of service. When was the last time you heard that? It's absent. It's, well, I'm hoping you're going to give me a better tip. Or I'm hoping that this is going to benefit me. There's to be a joy in the opportunity that God gives to serve. One of the ways that can come back into our hearts is next time you feel misused or put upon, or that the task is beneath you, or it's gone on too long, think of the one who loved you and gave himself for you on the cross, who died for you in order that he might give you life. It's not merely an option for us. It's a command of how we serve. So we thank him with sound. We use our voices. We give testimony of the good news of the gospel. We thank him with our service, serving with gladness. And then we thank him with song. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. You remember how Isaac Watts wrote that hymn that says, let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but favorites of the heavenly king, must speak his praise abroad. Come into his presence with singing. When you sing, do you intentionally think of the fact that the hymns we're singing, we're not singing to the choir, they're not singing to us, we're not singing them to Danelle. She's not singing to us. Where are our hymns being directed? It's praise to God. And sometimes I wonder if we've kind of lost this sense of joyfully praising him, coming into his presence with song. Do you remember some months ago on Memorial Day, we had the Bullfrog Chorus? How many of you men were in the Bullfrog Chorus? All three of you. How many of you men were in the Bullfrog Chorus? I want to see those. You know why they didn't raise their hands? They're afraid I'm going to make them come up and sing again. We had about 40 guys come up across the front here without a whole lot of warning. They were given a song sheet, and we said, we're going to sing God Bless America. Do you remember it? Do you remember that the sound reached the rafters? The whole church was filled with the music from about 40 guys? Does that normally happen for us when we sing our hymns? Or do we kind of just try to get through? Here's this picture of how we give thanks to God. Come into his presence with singing. It ought to be a manifest of our joy for what he has done for us and for who he is. And I sometimes wonder if we're singing with any kind of joy. I love how children sing because they sing with joyful abandon until we point it out and embarrass them. And then they get afraid to sing with that kind of abandon. I want you, we're going to have a closing hymn. Not yet. Don't get excited. Got 27 more points before we get there. No joy in Mudville today. Okay. But when we get to the last hymn, will you sing with joy? Sing with abandon? Sing because you know you're bringing it to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who loved you and who gave himself for you. Sometimes we struggle because we're not as familiar with the hymn, this one we sang just before the sermon. Not familiar to all of us, but did you find yourself thinking, who walk by faith and not by sight. That was the message that sparked the Reformation. That was the message that recaptured the good news of the gospel in a day when it had been lost. That was the message that brought about one of the most extraordinary movements across the globe of the spread of the true gospel message coming from the Word. It ought to be coming forth from us with joy. It's a scary thing to drive in South Florida, isn't it? Because inevitably people are talking on the phone or texting or putting on their makeup or whatever. But a couple of days ago, I was sitting in my car on the bridge over Woolbright Bridge over I-95 at the stoplight, and there were two girls that had their iPads out, and apparently they were synced together, and they had some kind of music on. I don't know what it was, but it was a great show. I was scared to drive next to her, but they were singing and doing this back and forth. And I thought, when was the last time I ever looked like that? And I said, next Sunday morning when I show you what it looked like. Okay. But I thought, there's a joy there that's missing from us in how we sing our praises. So when we come before God and we say, how do I thank you? How can I thank God for what he's done for me? I need to thank him with sound. I need to thank him by making a joyful noise, telling others about the good news of the gospel. I need to thank him with my service, finding opportunities to serve. God, where can I be used? What can I do? And let me do it with joy. Let me do it with the abandon of pleasure in God. Let me do it with song, that I actually come bringing my praises to him so that the directed heavenward, and they're not merely lisping the words, but they're the true expression of my heart. And then we thank him with our senses. Look at the next verse that follows there. Know this. This is where our senses are. Know that the Lord is God. Our thanksgiving to God is not mindless chatter. It's an investment of thought. It's filled with content. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Invest your mind into thinking about God. We like to be distracted. We like to have something that will fill our ears and fill our thoughts rather than taking time to meditate upon the Word of God. Take time to simply consider the character of God. Know who He is. Come to know Him in a personal sense. Invest yourself into knowing the Lord. What do I need to know? Well, here it's that it is He who made us. Right? He created me. What does that mean? It means I belong to him. I'm his. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Thank him with sound. Thank him with service. Thank him with song. Thank him with your senses. All right, here we go. Thank him with your seat. I couldn't find a better S for this, sorry. But do you see what it says? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Come to worship. Have you ever bothered by empty seats in the church? And just wonder what's going on? If America was truly what it claims to be, Sunday morning would be absolute gridlock on the streets. Because the claim is that more than 50% of all Americans are Christians. If you're a true believer, that doesn't mean there isn't possibly a Sunday that you won't be in worship. But we have an invitation from God saying, come together with my people. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. We're called to be here. And you guys are here this morning. Hallelujah. Will you be here tonight? Will you be here Wednesday to study God's word? Ladies, will you be here Mondays to study God's word in the women's prayer meeting? Tuesdays for the men's group? Do you gather yourself together with the people of God? I like to eat. It's starting to show. Could you imagine if I said to you, you get one meal a week? That's it. One meal. Now, the way I ate on Thanksgiving, it might have covered me for the week. But most weeks, that's not going to work. We act as though our gathering together in the presence of God, though He's called us to do it, is sort of a suggestion that we will gently acknowledge and will give Him a portion of our time. But part of thanking Him is coming into this place and being able to say, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for all the things that are going on in my life. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your strength and your grace and your help in time of need. So what do we find? How do I thank Him? I thank Him with sound. I thank Him with service. I thank Him with song. I thank Him with my senses. I thank Him with my seat. And then I thank Him with my satisfaction. As the psalmist nears the end of the psalm, he says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Show Him how satisfied we are with what He has done in our lives. One of the most tragic charges brought against mankind is that found in Romans chapter 1, where in verse 21 it says, though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There's nothing that is more out of place than a thankless saint. Paul speaks of having learned the secret of contentment. And I will tell you that it's only found when you're satisfied with who God is and what God has done. And we'll wrap it up. Thank Him with your sound, your service, your song, your senses, your seat, and your satisfaction. I tried one more S. Thank Him with your salute. The very last expression there. Bless His name. Speak it out. Praise the God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Seven imperatives. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His courts and gates. Give thanks. Bless His name. That's the call for us. So when God gives us this invitation to thanksgiving, don't go, how do I thank God? Because there it is. Let's put it into practice that God might be praised. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, this morning we ask that You would receive our praise and thanksgiving for who You are and what You have done. You've not left us to perish in our sin, but in Jesus Christ, You provided a substitute for us who gave Himself for us, taking the penalty that we should have received for our sin on the cross, and instead satisfying Your wrath by His substitutionary death. We thank You, Father, that we serve a risen Savior, that on the third day You raised Him from the dead, and that He is now seated at Your right hand, interceding in our behalf. Father, we pray that You would receive our thanks this day, both in what we say, what we do, what we think. And so we come to You in the powerful name of Christ Jesus. Amen.